You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody out there. Hey, how all my fortunate kindreds out there doing? Wow, what's going on in the news? It's always something. These days, it's always something going on. At least we can say we're not bored, that's for sure. Lots of exciting things, new changes in the administration. So again, I can't run up there and tell people what not to do and what to do, and neither can any of us unless you work up there on the staff. And depending on what your position is, you can or cannot do what you want to do. So I just say, let's all go with the flow, do the best we can, and be creative. I'm sure we can find ways to get around things. I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Kevin Pike. Hey, Kevin, look at his handsome photo up there. Hey, senior real estate and probate specialist, Kevin Pike of Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. Again, Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker, senior real estate and probate specialist, 818-571-1508. And now for our guest. I found out one of my great friends does Ancestry, and we did my Ancestry.com about a year ago, and I found out that I had 29% Nigerian blood. And I always wondered why I was attracted to the gentleman in his organization that I'm about to introduce. And I found that was why I was feeling it in my DNA and didn't even know it. So today as a guest, we have a wonderful man. He is the head of the organization called JINCO. His name is Afam Onyema. And Afam he kind of inherited this organization. So I'm going to let him tell you all about it. Afam, hey, what's happening? Welcome to the show. Thank you for being on my show. I'm so used to him being in a situation live, so I could go up to him and give him a hug and hug the whole family. But today we have him on StreamYard. So Afam, welcome to the show. And welcome
so much for having me. It's a pleasure to see you. Pleasure to be on your show. Thank you so much.
Yeah, look at that big smile. So you inherited the JINCO Foundation. I'm going to let you explain. By the way, just for you guys to know out there, before Afam gets into his thing, the JINCO Foundation was co-founded by Afam and has garnered significant support and recognition worldwide from celebrities like Angelina Jolie, Harry and Meghan Markle, Archiewell Foundation, David Oyelowo, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Benedict Cumberbatch, a whole bunch of people that, and others that have made it possible for them to continue going. So I wanted to now turn it over to Afam.
Well, thank you so much, Osiris. It's a pleasure to be here to speak about JINCO, and which is a passion of my life and really the dream of my father. To give you a really quick overview, my father is native Nigerian, always dreamed to become a doctor. He was inspired by a British missionary doctor who was taking care of his community at the time in the 40s and 50s. And he just was inspired by the idea of not only medicine, but sacrificial medicine. This doctor came over from a comfortable life in the UK to care for frontier medicine in Nigeria in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And my dad loved that idea of service, but also doing it through medicine. So he met my mom when he was in Nigeria, and my mom was studying to be a nurse. My dad was studying to be a doctor. And they said, okay, let's go to the U.S., stay for 4 or 5 years, learn about modern medicine, and bring it back to Nigeria. And so they left, but I'm the second of 4 kids. And they realized we had amazing opportunities to go back, to stay in the U.S. and not go back to Nigeria. And so they said, well, let's keep the kids here, train them, give them the American dream, you know, quote unquote. And so my dad always told us about this dream of going back, about our family. Majority of our family at the time was still in Nigeria. Nigeria was going through so many issues with ethnic violence, religious violence, oil, corruption, terrible government. Unfortunately, a lot of things we're still dealing with today. And so I heard about this dream, and I had my own professional plans, and they did not So I told my dad, when I become rich and or famous, I will help you with this as a side thing.
Yes.
I never intended to have it be my professional, like my vocation, until I got older. And I went to Harvard for college and then went to Stanford for law school and really started to learn more about my roots. You mentioned your ancestry, like being 100% Nigerian. I thought, well, my community and my family. And so I started to think about what could I do to help? And I had my corporate law offers, but I was graduating law school. I thought, you know what? The chance to take a leap and do this, build a foundation and do this work full time is something that it both inspired me and terrified me. And I think life would be about inspiration and being challenged every day, not necessarily being afraid every day or terrified every day, but being challenged and also being inspired. So turned down my corporate law offers and moved to LA from San Francisco or the Bay Area and started JNCO in the fall of 2007.
Wow. And been going strong ever since. Now I met them. And some of the events are when I first went to your event and I saw everyone, I was like, where have all these people come from? It looked like where do they live? Everybody was elegant and dressed like kings and queens. And I mean, to the T. But it didn't feel fake or phony. Yeah. It felt like people that genuinely, this is their lifestyle. This is how they live and how they move through life. Yeah. And so I know you have other siblings. How are your other siblings able to support you in carrying out Dr. Godwin, who is his father's name, Dr. Godwin, mm-hmm. The dream that he had and now that you are continuing to move?
Sure. Yeah. So as I mentioned, I'm the second. I have an older brother who's in the Maryland area. I have a sister who's in Brooklyn and another sister who's in the Chicago area. And they're all on the board, along with my dad. And my mom supports us, even though she's not legally on the board. And we just do it as a family. Like, we have outside board members. It's a very official, we're not just doing it as a family. We're doing it. We have outside support but it's really, it's a way for the family to stay together. It gives us a reason to be in touch. You know, as you've seen, my family comes over for the galas. And so we spend time together there. And back in the day, when we were doing more physical events, we would meet mm-hmm. together in Chicago. We'd meet together in New York. And so it's been a really great way for the family to stay together. And as you said, my siblings have been so supportive. You know, they're not doing it full time. They have their own full time jobs. Mm-hmm. Yet they still always make time to make sure I'm supported. If they need to, if they can, you know, raise money in their area, whether it be New York or Chicago or the DC area. And, you know, I'll say, hey, can you look this over? What do you think about this? And they're engaged in that way. Cause it's obviously our father's dream. So we're all motivated to help, even though I've been the one, you know, over the past 17 plus years to do it full time. They've been really gracious in both accepting my leadership role day to day, but also as board members, making sure that they have a strong say in the overall direction of JNCO.
So as far as I understand, JNCO, not that it won't deal with anyone else, but there is a very strong focus and targeting for young African women, young Nigerian mm-hmm. women. What is the process of targeting that group of people the young ladies that you decide to support? What is the process of them, you targeting them and then getting them into the organization and then taking them through the process of what it means to get in there, stay in there, and then get your support so they can go ahead and move forward with their future?
Sure. Yeah. So in this particular program, the David Oyelowo Leadership Scholarship for Girls, we started it with David Oyelowo, the actor. People in your audience may remember him from Selma. He played Martin Luther King in Selma. He was in Lincoln. He was in Interstellar. He recently had Bass Reeves, a Paramount Plus show, where he played an epic black cowboy sheriff.
Showing his movie. They're also showing his movie on Netflix right now.
Exactly. Yes. With Storm Reid. And I'm so glad it's getting that platform and being rediscovered. I remember being at the premiere of it and just being so proud of him and his work. And we connected through a mutual friend in 2015. And he talked about how the Bring Back Our Girls campaign, which was raging because all the girls that were being kidnapped by Boko Haram, a terrorist group in Nigeria, how that really was, you know, affecting him. And he thought, you know what, we can't fight Boko Haram as a terrorist group, but what if we took care of as many girls as we can in terms of education, you know, getting them educated, getting them back out, you know, if they're orphaned or abandoned or left in IDP camps, we'll find them, we'll get them back into school. And so we started the scholarship in 2015, and it was started with one girl at one school, three girls at one school, and now we have 45 girls at four schools throughout the country. Wow. And we do a six-year program. So once you're a scholar, David Ayelowo, a leadership scholar, you get 6 years of tuition, but also leadership training. And you mentioned Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. We partner with them to provide our teens with menstrual health for the girls and then mental health for the boys and the girls. Mm-hmm. And they were both in Nigeria, and we got to partner on a mental health summit that Prince Harry and Meghan keynoted. We do STEM education. We partnered with a company, Smith's Group, a UK-based company, to provide girls with AI training, virtual reality, 3D printing, all these
technology, yeah.
Yeah, technology that they're not exposed to, but they need to succeed in this modern economy. So we provided them with that. And then we recently, and I can talk more about it, but I got back from Nigeria just about a month ago with David. We did a creative arts summit where we introduced the girls to acting and screenwriting and dance and music and drama. And it was just a fantastic experience. So these girls are going to be enriched throughout this whole six-year experience so they can become future leaders in whatever definition of that leadership that they want to take on.
And you know what's beautiful is that you said you made it clear that you are training these girls to be leaders. Yes. He didn't say assistants, executive assistants. He said leaders, leaders. He's training leaders to take over in those areas. And do you have, when you said, I know Meghan and Harry are very involved in, you know, in helping, especially with young kids, because I know Princess Diana was very much involved with Africa and those kind of areas like Nigeria when she was alive. So his mother really had that in her DNA, you know, to service people like that, because she would take her. I saw the documentaries. She would take he and his brother when they were small kids and make sure they went to see, you know, those areas that weren't so wealthy and weren't so healthy and things like that. So I know she was big on that. So it's no surprise that he has that inside of him to still be that. I don't, you know, and I know their foundation is really very, very front. Do you have, you mentioned entertainment things. Do you have some of the famous producers, directors come in there and do mentoring workshops with them and that kind of thing?
It's a great question. So we just created a center for music and the dramatic or creative arts at, I mentioned we have the four partner schools. Yeah. One of the partner schools is called Brightland Academy, and it was founded by the mother of the actor Chiwetel Ejiofor, who you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
For those, again, for your audience, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Oscar nominated for 12 Years a Slave. He was in Doctor Strange as Baron Mordo. He has all his iconic actor and stage and screen. And again, we got connected through a mutual friend, and his mom created a school in Nigeria. It's an excellent school, and we're able to come along and provide physical support. So everything from new laptops to a new soccer field to a meeting hall to a basketball court to a new library. And so our latest project with him was to create this Center for the Creative Arts, where, again, kids can learn about music and drawing and acting and directing and screenwriting. So we had the physical building, and our first experience was David Ayelowo going with us in late January to open it. And now, hopefully, over time, I know I have several friends who are actors and directors and producers and editors who want to get involved. So our next goal is to set up a program, because obviously everyone can't go over there, but we can do virtual classes, like just like we're speaking virtually now.
Yes.
Director do a town hall with the girls and talk about how do you direct and all that. So we're setting up the physical means to do that. And then over the months and the years ahead, I know I'm going to have a lot of my friends here in LA be reaching out, excuse me, about how they can be involved. And so we're going to think more deeply about that program so that it's enriching to both the girls, but also I want them, you know, obviously the directors and actors and editors to get a lot out of it. It's maintained. I don't want someone to do it once and then kind of disappear, because we're really all about commitment at the JNCO Foundation. Everyone we work with, you mentioned a lot of the names, they're just so committed that they truly have, this is not something they do so they can put it on the gram, you know, or add it to their bios. They are in it. They're serious about it and they're true partners. And I'm just so grateful for that.
I like you said, put it on the gram. Can I take that?
Trying to keep up with the kids, you know.
This ain't IG like the gram. I like that. I'm telling you, y'all, you can be mad if you want to. And mama loves to be hip, okay? So if I hear a word, I'm like, I'm going to take that.
Yeah, of course. Please
you know,
do.
I'm going to use that because I like that. I like, because some of the words are short enough, you can still get it.
Yeah.
You know, without going into long the gram, you know. Absolutely. Now, you know, if you know old days, like grandma, what grandma?
Yeah, grandma phone. Yeah,
but they're talking about the gram, Instagram.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's funny seeing all the different things. But going back to what I was saying, there is an organization here. You might want to check them out. Film Independent.
Okay.
And will partner with you. Mm-hmm. They have all of the finest Los Angeles College. All of your great actors and celebrities, a lot of them came out of those schools, USC, LAAC, LACC, and Film Independent. They will all support you because they have the programs already in place, that they already have those people talking to people that move into LA and, you know, don't know anything. And they, and I know, because I've worked for some of those organizations in terms of working with them on an outside media base, you know, not inside of the organization, but working with them. And so they are very, very supportive of young people. So if you want to look into that.
Good to know. Thank you.
Yeah. And then what I want to ask you is that what makes going on your pivotal point of raising leaders, mm-hmm. not followers, what makes Nigerian girls so unique mm-hmm. that you would focus on just I mean, I hear other girls like Tyla, who's from South Africa, and she's so amazing. I love her. And all of the young girls that are now getting a chance because of the internet, because of all these AI things, we're all getting a chance to see what a plethora of women and men that we have from all over the world. What makes Nigerian girls so unique?
Well, I mean, obviously I'm very biased to being Nigerian myself, but if you look at just even here in the US, the demographic or the ethnicity that over-indexes in terms of degrees and success are Nigerians. More than any other ethnicity. People can Google it, look it up in terms of percentage of Nigerians who have mm-hmm. master's degrees, doctorates, PhDs, who graduate college or succeeding. We just over-index. And I tell someone, just look at, turn on your television, watch a basketball game, watch a football game. You're going to see Nigerians, you know, you're going to see names you don't quite understand. And anyone who knows Nigeria will know, like, that's a Nigerian. we just partnered with Giannis Antetokounmpo to build a community center with mm-hmm. partnered with his family and their foundation. And Giannis is Nigerian. He's called the Greek Freak because their family emigrated to Greece, but his parents are Nigerian. They were born in Nigeria.
What was his last name that you said, Afam?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, it's like it's a Nigerian name that was kind of Greekified, and so it's like it's interesting. And his story is on the Disney Plus did a powerful story of his family and them emigrating him to seeding. It's called Rise, RISE on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. They're great. And we partnered with them to build a kind of a community center for Nigeria where kids are, there's a computer lab and a library and there's sports and they're learning about basketball for the first time. So I just use him as one example of a Nigerian doing excellent things. And obviously, I mentioned David Oyelowo and Chiwetel Ejiofor. There's so many other Nigerian actors and producers, people behind the scenes. I don't want to call them out because they may get too many calls, but they're like,
they're going to call you.
Netflix, and Netflix and HBO who are doing great. And our board members is the top executive, a Nigerian who's a top executive at Google, YouTube. And so,
yes,
that's all to say that there's such excellence in the country. And if the government would get out of the people's way, be less corrupt, be more enabling, we always say Nigeria would be like the Singapore of Nigeria, of Africa. It would be it would explode in terms of, numbers. Okay. And just the economically, I mean, even culturally, Afrobeats is art. Nigerian culture is culture. Afrobeats.
I love Afrobeats. I'm a big supporter of them on TikTok.
Yeah. Absolutely. And all my Caucasian friends will know more about it than sometimes I do. Like, they are just really into it. It's become culture, and
it's very nice. Yeah,
the style and the art. And so I want those girls to be part of that, the next wave of that. I want them to not be cut off because they don't have internet, because they don't have power, running water, or good schools. My idea is to give them all those things, enable them, empower them. That's the word that guides me every day, is how can I empower them? How can we serve them? And then watch them explode. One of them is going to be an amazing actor. One's going to be an incredible doctor. One's going to be governor of her state before she runs for president of Nigeria. And one's going to solve a major medical issue that everyone is dealing with, right? So I'm just excited about it. And just to be part of enabling them and empowering them is something that gets me excited every single day.
Well, I'm getting some juice from you. I'm excited too. That's why I have you on. I'm excited. I have to keep up with what you're doing. And the more and more AI and the internet and things are incorporated, the more and more things are going to begin to mesh more. Yes. So it would be do well for all of us. I know it used to be back in the day that, everything seemed separate. They're African, we're Black Americans or African American. It's not like that anymore. Yeah. Even though a lot of people still think like that in real world time, it's not like that. Yeah. The only reason that people think like that is because we have an old established way of mindset.
Yeah.
But the kids and people that are on the internet a lot, and things like that, and not saying you should burn yourself out on the internet, but people that know what's happening on in that world, it's moving so fast that nobody can stop it. Everybody's interacting with each other now. Everybody's breaking the barriers, of when to talk, who we can talk to, we can't talk to. And it's really a beautiful thing to watch. Now, when they are in, a lot of these young women have things happen to them within the society? Yes. Do you pull them out? Let's talk about that, because I like talking about the heavy stuff that most people don't want to do. I want to hear about it. I want to know how you guys are helping them. I myself have a background of having some really bad things happen to me. I've talked about it on my show, and there was no one for me to talk to. I held it in for years until it caused me to have a mental illness, And so I want you to tell our audience what it's like for those girls that you are literally rescuing from some very ill-fated circumstances, by bringing them into the organization and redirecting and refocusing their mindsets.
Thank you. And again, I'm thank you for being so open about your struggles. I do believe, and that's one of the things that Prince Harry said when he came to our mental health summit to keynote it, that the more we talk about it, the less we kick the stigma out, let's take the sting out. People go, oh, you too? Like, I'm feeling this and I thought I was alone. So thank you so much for being so courageous with that. And yes, our girls have experienced just things that would break anyone, it's in terms of the abuse and dislocation and abandonment and fear. And, one of our girls saw her parents burned alive in front of her, and some have been abandoned on the side of the road. Some have had, physical effects, sexual things done to them. And so all we can do at that point is bring them in and just tell them they're safe. That they're safe, we're going to take care of them, and then just demonstrate that every day that they're going to be safe, that we're going to take care of them, that we're going to empower them. And the resilience is heroic. girls who have been through so much, and they're not bitter. They're sad, and there's a sadness there, but they also want to learn physics, and they want to read Shakespeare, and they want to play soccer, and they want to be girls, and they want to learn how to, you know, operate cameras and paint and all the things we did on the Creative Arts Summit. You can see so much of the therapeutic elements of the painting and the dance and the photography. And so it's really, you know, and now that we've, as I mentioned, our scholarship started with the 2015-2016 school year. And so our first graduate graduated several years ago, and she came back for the Creative Arts Summit we had last month. And she just was just an example to the girls that, listen, like, I got through this. Here's my story. And now she's trying to tell her story. I think everyone catches the Hollywood bugs. Now she's trying to tell her story in Hollywood and have her told. And we're doing what we can to help there. Yeah, exactly. So, but the girls are so resilient. They've been through so much, but their hope is still there. And they're still that despite all of the challenges, there's still that kernel of excellence. They're still brilliant. You know, just because they're abused doesn't mean they're not masters at math or reading or art or science. They just have to get the training and get the proper teachers and the proper learning environment. And so that's what we try to do is create an enabling environment and let their natural brilliance shine through.
And I'm sure you have on staff therapy and, you know, things to support them as they open up, as they reopen up, you know. And again, I am so grateful that I live long enough to be able to see some of these things happen, because in earlier times, that just wasn't the support. Yeah. And, you know, women and men, but in general, women, you know, were made to just kind of hide. I know I had, you know, I was like way old, you know, before I really was even able to get help and even understand what had happened to me. I was a young kid and didn't understand. And then it took me many, many years to be able to open up and especially now speak about what happened to me in the military, you know, and a lot of people don't know. When you go in the military, it's not like anything you think. It's not a protective environment like that. You know, there are women that are picked off when you get in. I had an experience going from my parents' house in Waco to Dallas, Texas, and the recruiting officer was all over me. I remember I never got any sleep because I slept with my door locked all night because, you know, I was being like put in a position where I didn't understand what was going on. And the guy was kind of pressuring me, and I'm a young person. Yeah. Out of my mother's house into the military. I've never been anywhere else except with my parents. Yeah. And so it is really hard to, especially for women being emotional, I will say strongly emotionally based, you know, to come up and out and try to, you know, do something that's supposed to be something that is a part of an enjoyable experience as you mature and get older. And then having introduced to those things in a way that might have put you off from ever, you know, experiencing certain things again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the fact that your organization has been able to take those dark moments from those young women and make them brighter, you know, and make their future look brighter, is that's why I support you. We need more of that. We need more of, instead of focusing on people's color, their culture, who they're having sex with, what body parts they have or don't pay. Let's focus on these people out here raping these young women, raping men, you know, giving them drugs, having sex with them, trafficking them. That's our future. Without them, there won't be anybody to run the future. Yeah. So rather than focus on those people that have kind of fallen by the wayside, they may or may not change or whatever. You know, I'm with AFM and the JNCO organization, and let's support and make, you know, make life brighter. So AFM, has any of the new administration things affected JNCO in terms of funding, in terms of things like that? What has it done or not done?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I'm getting it a lot. I'm getting a lot of texts and emails from friends and donors, to be honest. And so the short answer is we don't receive federal funding. And so the cuts to USAID have directly affected us. Ironically enough, I've been meeting with my team over the past year, 2023, 2024, and saying, let's get ready to go after government funding. Like we do well with individuals and otherwise, but like to get government funding, you can get it in larger amounts, you can get it over years. So let's really start planning. We're having conversations, making connections, and all of this happened. And so I would say that's put a pause on all that, those efforts and that work. But my heart breaks. I have so many friends, obviously, in this field, in this world, who are directly affected, who have lost all their funding. They wake up one day and they're not paid, and they can't pay their staff, and they can't continue to treat the children they're looking after, the women, vulnerable women. The idea that we're just going to be so cruel and callous that we're going to end feeding starving kids with no notice, that we're going to end trials on malaria vaccinations. We're not going to give women who are pregnant and have HIV the drugs to keep passing on to their kids. Someone has to sit me down and explain how that's in our best interest and how that shows any ounce, not even compassion, just humanity. So we can save less than 1% of the federal budget. I think people sometimes think we're throwing all this money at foreign aid. Foreign aid is 0.8% of the budget. So
that's it.
Yeah, it's less than 1%. So if you have
$100, I thought it was more.
Yeah, no. If you have $100, you're spending 80 cents on foreign aid. So you can take the 80 cents off the table. Okay, then what? And then meanwhile, kids are dying, mothers are dying, and Americans. I think people forget, like, the food that we're sending overseas is farmed and grown by American farmers. So now some of the people who thought, oh yeah, cut it all, get rid of it all, go, oh, hold on. The farmers in my state aren't going to get paid. Whoa, that's not right. You know, the drug companies in my state aren't going to be able to sell their drugs. And the people who are working on this stuff no longer have jobs. And so it was incredibly short-sighted. And now it just kind of constricts the pie, because with federal funding is the major funding. Like there's no Bill Gates. There's no Mackenzie Scott. There's no celebrity that can make up that amount. And so you're really cutting the pie not almost in half. And then it's gonna be Hunger Games, literal Hunger Games fighting over, you know, what's left. And it's so unnecessary. And I only hope and pray that it gets reversed permanently in the courts, or are people to see common sense and realize that, like, are we gonna wake up 4 years from now and realize how many babies have AIDS now because we wanted to save a few pennies? And people are dying.
And we don't even talk about AIDS anymore. Like, AIDS is still very, 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 very real. And it's because, you know, like an epidemic, like people still have COVID. There are people that have long-term COVID. I had never heard of such a thing. They have long-term COVID. It's all these little things that we don't talk about because the society is good for, like, what's the next big story? What's the next big story? What's the next big story? And then all the other little stories that were there before the big story, you find that those little stories are still going on out there in the world, you know. Yeah. And I know it's sad. I don't know maybe it's because, again, how I believe in things, because I've been trained that we don't use all of our brains. We use a small portion of our brains, and that a lot of things that we depend on to have other people do for us, if we were given the other part of our brains to be creative with, and to come up with ideas, maybe we can get around the dependency, the codependency, to depend on things like this. Mm-hmm. If we all were to stimulate our own creative brains. I've not had help most of my life. Most of my adult life, I've spent struggling for finances because I'm an entrepreneurial type person. I would get on a job. I would stay on the job 2, 3, 4 years. I'm gone. I never could last on a job, partly because of a mental thing, but 90% because I just didn't fit in a box. I had to find another way. And so I'm always looking, like, how do we find another way? How do we put all of these brilliant minds that we have and find other ways to support? Do we go out door to door? Do we talk to people individually? Do we go on the communities and canvass the communities like they do back in the day? You know, I need your support or whatever. How do we offset the other things rather than just lying down, you know, like when you're raped and going, oh, I have no power. Just do whatever you want to or kill me. Just kill me. Why don't you? you know, instead of those things are waking up and then saying, well, what do I do now that I've survived the lack of funding, the cutting and all of that? You know, what kind of creative ideas are we trying to come up with for that? Mm-hmm. We can't just lay down and die and just say we're not going to do anything. Yeah. So what do you think we should do?
No, I think it's just remembering our compassion. The most important trait in the world to me is kindness. That's the first thing I ask, is how can I be kind in this situation? But it's just a trait that the outside world or our modern world or our culture does. It's almost viewed as a weakness. And I just refuse to believe that. So if it's countercultural to be kind, then I'm a counterculturist, even though I don't consider myself one. I just think kindness doesn't symbolize weakness. It doesn't mean you're not you don't have a backbone or you just will take whatever. Kindness is that you're thinking about the other person and what's important to them. And you can say, well, I believe in this firmly, but the kindness in me says I'm not going to force you to believe this or whatever, but I'm standing firm. Or it can be, you know what, you changed my mind on this, or where we disagree, but I'm still going to love you. Or I don't have to feed this person or take it. The people who donate to JNCO, no one has to give to JNCO.
Exactly.
If you want a tax break, there are literally 1.5 million nonprofits that they can get a tax break. And giving us a donation is not going to make them, you know, make them sexier or cooler. Like I could lie and say it is, that does. But like in the end, they give because they're kind people and they see what we're doing and say, I want to help girls. I want to help women who are struggling. I want to be a part of it. I want to be part of your family. And that to me is just the most overwhelmingly amazing thing in the world. And so that keeps me going. The fact that JNCO's existed now, I've been working on JNCO now full time, over 17 and a half years.
Yeah.
And it's completely based on the kindness of others. And so that keeps me going through administrations and through, you know, movements and, you know, this party's up, this party's down, you know, this is right. This is like, that kindness and that support has kept me going in terms of my livelihood and also the work that we do in Nigeria. So that keeps me positive because I see it every day. I see that kindness every day.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Let me give a shout out to our sponsor again, Kevin Pike, Senior Probate and Real Estate Specialist for Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. Kevin Pike will take care of all your ills. He's a great realtor. He got me into my place. And he's good about taking your hand. No matter what you've gone through, what you're dealing with, he has a kind heart. So that kindness is important. He's not a dog-eat-dog kind of realtor where I'm just going to get mine and I'm going to say anything and, you know, I don't care about everything. He really does have a heart and he really is. I believe that homes have energy and that they respond to certain energies. And I believe when I look for a home, I'm looking for a home just like I would be looking for a partner or a new pair of shoes or anything else. It has to be the right kind of fit. And Kevin is really able to do that. He's very skilled. So don't forget, 818-571-1508. And now back to our guest, Afan Onyema from JNCO Foundation. So you're talking about Nigeria and all of the, you know, things. I was watching a documentary on Charlie Chisholm, and I love watching some of the documentaries so that I can see some of the ways they would go after things when there was nothing to go after, when, you know, really a lot of doors were closed. Nobody was doing what we're doing now. You know, we weren't free and couldn't have shows and they weren't twerking and jerking and all the things we're doing. And somebody went out there and fought those battles to get us from there to here. So in that regard, I know Lagos, isn't Lagos the capital of Nigeria?
It used to be. They moved it in the 90s. Now it's Abuja. Abuja is the capital. Lagos is still the commercial capital, but for political reasons, ethnic reasons, they moved it from Lagos to Abuja in the 90s.
To who? What area?
Abuja, in the center of the country.
I read that.
Yeah, to be in the center.
Isn't that the area where the school is that yes. You guys set the school up? Yeah, I remember reading that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so why Abuja? Is there so much? What's happening over there? Is there a lot of
activity? It's the capital, so there's a lot of energy. A lot of people are there. Obviously, we do things all over the country. We have our medical clinics in the southeast, and we have four partner schools. One happens to be in Abuja, but we have Chuatel School in the southeast. We have a school in Jos in the north, and then we have a school closer to Lagos in the southwest. So we do mm-hmm. we do a lot throughout the country. But you know, when Harry and Meghan visited last year, they visited Abuja, so it made sense to do the mental health summit in Abuja because obviously it was just in the same area that they were going to be in. So. But yeah, no, we try to do as much as we can. We're still a very, very, very small organization, but we try to just do as much as we can with what we have.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So I want to hear your media tags, and we're getting close to time, but I really want you to talk more about what the future holds for GeneCo. What are some of the future projects you're thinking of? I know with some of the creative projects you have, mm-hmm. then you have AI and technology. Mm-hmm. You have all of the different aspects of the society. And then you have aspects of the society that are things that women generally do. You know, like all of your administrative things, a lot of those things. Are you gearing more towards technology in the future and less having women in the offices and that kind of staff and on medical teams? And do you really want to, GeneCo really wants to push kind of like, I want to think of Iron Man 3, where they pushed out an elite group of certain kinds of robots and AIs, you know, where they're elite. So they don't do the little things like that anymore. They're specifically for to move GeneCo into the future and,
yeah, I think for us it's balancing. You know, you don't want to. It's Nigeria is still dealing with power outages and not having clean water and bad roads, and so you don't want to leap too far into the future, and because the infrastructure may not be there, right? So for us, it's how can we in this environment introduce AI in a way that makes sense and that's sustainable. That's a very strong word, is to be sustainable. And then, you know, VR and 3D printing in ways that are both sustainable and culturally relevant. And so it's a balancing act. We kind of take our cues from the girls, from the schools. We kind of learn, you trial and error, you try something once in one area and you refine it. But we certainly have a look to the future. We want to be part of what the force that's dragging the country, maybe kicking and screaming into the future. But this young generation won't settle for anything less. I mean, they're going to do it with or without us.
I like that about them.
So I'm trying to keep them in the country so the whole country benefits.
Mm-hmm. I like that about them. That's how I was when I was young. I didn't have nobody to support me. So I'm happy, you know, to be with you young people out there, because I was always like had the spirit to do something. And everything that everyone told me that I could not do, I never listened to people unless they gave me something that made common sense.
Yeah.
You know, but something that someone told me to do, like my dreams and all of those, that's why they're coming true, because, you know, in your situation, those dreams in the mind of those young women, they have to stay alive. They have to be able to feed those dreams, you mm-hmm. know, to feed those wishes. Like, I'm going to be what, 22, or one day I'm going to be 32 or whatever. So what am I going to be doing then? GeneCo going to help me move my life forward as I go through all of these different stages of maturing, you know? So do they have a follow-up program so that when they get out of the organization, do you have a way to follow up? And if you need to bring them back, they need more training or they have.
We have a program, kind of an out, we call it send forth. We're sending them out into the world. And there's steps. I mean, with the understanding that, again, with any scholarship, eventually it has to end. You know, you get a scholarship to high school, they're not going to pay for your college. You get a scholarship to college, they're not going to get you a job and pay you for work. So we don't, and 6 years is a long time. So every girl that we then take care of after 6 years is a girl we can't bring into the program for 6 years. So it's a balancing act between making sure our girls are ready for that next step, doing what we can to provide, whether it's like, hey, try an online course, or here's a place that's hiring, or try this, here are some ideas. But then at the end, you know, it becomes, you know, we've trained you for 6 years, you've had leadership training, you've had STEM education, you've had menstrual mental health if you're a girl, you've had a great school that has laptops and all that. Now we feel you're ready for the world. And other organizations have other programs that are more workforce development, economic development, entrepreneurship. So we try to, you know, work with those groups that when we can, or just refer to our girls to them, or kind of have them step in. Mm-hmm. But realizing we're a very small organization, I think sometimes organizations the reason they fall apart is because they do try to do too much. And we try to push against that. So it's a balancing act because we want our girls to succeed after we graduate. We want every girl to succeed. But we're proud of the fact that we've given them 6 years of the best education that we possibly could provide.
That's a long time to be under somebody. And then do they have to be a certain age when they come in to the organization?
Yeah, it's about the equivalent of middle school. I mean, they have different rankings in Nigeria, but it's about the equivalent of middle school and then it's through high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do any of your famous Nigerian celebrities involve themselves with the girls? I mean, do they make themselves, their presence felt with your organization there?
David Oyelowo has been there a couple times now. I know Chiwetel is planning a trip. We hope to get him there. It's just kind of timing with these people and their shooting schedules. And then we've had non-celebrities come on our trips. Obviously, we do medical missions, so we've had medical staff. We've had some of our supporters come. Mm-hmm. It's a big commitment to come. I think sometimes people go, I want to go to Nigeria, and then I realize it's a long, 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 not even flights, and it's expensive, and it's not, so people sometimes, it gets daunting, and so I tell people, like, first of all, also, like, what are you bringing to Nigeria? Not what you're taking. Don't go there expecting to get pictures and have it be a vacation. What are you bringing of value to our girls, to our women, to people we support? And if you can't articulate that in a way that makes sense, it's probably best for you not to go with us. There are other groups that do more tourism, volunteerism, where it's just supposed to have fun. I tell people when you come to Nigeria, it's a joyful experience, but it's not an easy experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's a sacrifice of time and effort. So I'm so grateful to David, who's now gone twice with us and taken that time, brought his wife, Jessica, with us.
They're beautiful. I met them. They're so nice. Yeah. They were so nice to me. I felt like, oh, wow. I have the people around. I felt like home, you know? I mean,
is. At those events, it's really, you mentioned the spirit, and it really is like family. It's like coming every year. There are people who I only see at the gala, but they're so warm and they're open and they're there. Not, yes, they're celebrities and they'll get their pictures and all that, but they're there for the goal and the mission. And they're there. They truly care.
They do.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't matter from the very, very famous to kind of just people who are the amazing people who drive society, the doctors and the lawyers and the bankers and all that. It's a family, and it's my favorite night of the year. And
I have fun.
Yeah, I love it.
It's so
much
fun.
Yeah,
it's like bring around wealth, but not at the same time.
Yeah,
because like I said, when I walked in the room, I was like, oh my gosh, where are these people from? Where do they live? Where do they? It was like a whole segment of LA I've never seen. Where do they
live? No, it's very unique.
You know, but they look so regal, but it wasn't fake.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, I'm trying to be nice to you. I'm nice for real. I love my people. I love people. I love my people, you know, and that kind of thing. And I was really, you've always been so gracious, and it's always such a beautiful experience. So tell us where we can find more about JNCO online, and give us your social media tags, and then I will give mine. Sure. So go.
So JNCO.org, and it's GEANCO. So like JNCO, but with a G. So GEANCO.org. And you can find us on Instagram at JNCOFDN. Again, GEANCOFDN. Also find us. We don't do much on Twitter X for reasons I won't get into, but Instagram, we're on Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. So just look for
you on Snap?
We're not on Snap. Not on TikTok yet. Or maybe, and again, for reasons we won't get into, but like we're really active on Instagram. I'm most active on LinkedIn. But our website has a bunch of information. People can find me on LinkedIn or on our website.
And JNCO.org. Don't forget to look for them. In terms of me, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. I like you. Remember, that's my word. So don't go stealing my word. I like you. That means I like and I love you. You know, I like you as people, and I love you that you have the hearts to turn on the radio and listen to all of the different hosts. You know, have us bring on guests like Afam. And listen to their story. And we love to bring intriguing people. We try to stay away from the same old boring things in Hollywood. So yeah, I'm going to bring up stuff up here that you're going to want to talk about, and you might be upset and triggered, but that's what I want to do, because I want to give people my, you know, like I always say, my mom and dad always taught us to use our own brains. Don't let other people think for you. Think for yourself. Even if someone gives an opinion, say, okay, I love that opinion. Unless you know it deep in your heart to be true, go and at least bother to go online and say, let me check what they said. I know my children, they call me on stuff. They were like, Mom, we went on so-and-so, and it was like 2014, not 2020. Mm-hmm. So they will call you on things that, you know. So I would suggest you go and look up these people like Afam Onyema and David Oyelowo, who, I tell you a funny story. When I first met him at JNCO, I knew who he was, but I'd never met him in person. And, you know, when you see people on a screen and then you meet them out in the public. And I said, okay, how do you say his name? So when I said his name, I said, hi, we're now talking to Mr. David Oyelowo. And when I saw him backstage, he laughed so hard. I said, I am so sorry. I finally had sense enough to go on the internet and see another interview on you and see how they said your name. He said, that's okay. People mess my name up all the time. He wasn't upset. He didn't feel like, oh, how dare you mispronounce my name? And you're supposed to be this. Now, he was so kind. And I never mispronounced it again. So, all right, Afam. JNCO.org. Don't forget me. Like, subscribe, and share. You can find me on IG, Osiris_Munir_ the painter, M-U-N-I-R, Munir. _ the painter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Snapchat, Pinterest. I also share with a company out of Germany called VK. I do all of that just for you because I love you. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see you next week. Say bye to Afam and don't forget to support the future. Support these young women, these young people that are coming up. Instead of putting them down about them twerking and all that, I don't mind that they twerk. I was twerking too when I was young. It's just I wasn't on TV doing it. But, you know, we still did things. So don't forget how you felt and how it was to get your first kiss and be on TV. Don't forget that when you were young, you know, and I still like having that feeling. So rather than try to talk about them and put them down, I give them my encouraging and try to, you know, shift them as they move along. The thing is to direct them, not try to tell them and control them and tell them what to do. Mm-hmm. So that's what we love, Afam, JNCO, and we'll see you later, Afam. I'll see you at the event this year. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming on our show. It's been a wonderful pleasure. I love LoQ so much. And
I'll always be there
to support what you do. Okay.
Appreciate that. Thank you again. Thank you.
Bye.
You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Port-au-Prince, Haiti gangs attacked the Del Motte's 30 neighborhood, resulting in civilian casualties and displacing residents. Witnesses reported gunfire before dawn, causing families to flee their homes in panic.
Local media reported the deaths of two Haitian soldiers during the assault. Authorities have not yet commented on the incident. Recent gang violence has displaced over 6,000 people in the area within the past month. Chris Anderson reporting.
Ukraine and the United States have reached a preliminary economic agreement involving the exploitation of rare earth minerals, according to Ukrainian officials. The deal aims to secure continued U.S. military support for Ukraine. Joseph Eckerson with the latest.
The agreement is expected to be signed by Friday, with plans for Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to meet U.S. President Donald Trump in Washington. Discussions will likely focus on ongoing military aid to Ukraine.
In the Gaza Strip, 6 infants have died from hypothermia over the past 2 weeks as families shelter in tents and damaged buildings amid a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas.
The cold, wet winter has exacerbated the dire living conditions for displaced residents. Dr. Ahmed Al-Farah from Nasser Hospital confirmed the deaths were due to severe cold exposure. The Gaza Health Ministry reports a total of 15 children.